Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sometimes golf is a pain in the butt. You hit your ball in the trees and then you lip out the putt. But if you've got a little time, then come and spend it with us. Cause now you're listening to The Rough Cut.
Hello, 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 and welcome down to yet another episode of the as of yet award-winning Rough Cut Golf Podcast. And we are live, coming at you hot and fresh from the sandy, sunny shores of California. And it is not the usual lineup today. We have myself, we have Mick, but sitting in the middle of us, like a rose between two thorns, is a man who revolutionized the club fitting game. People look to him for advice, knowledge, expertise on everything to do with golf clubs, and also how to dress appropriately, because he is a style icon. Today we are joined by Trotty Golf, and hopefully that is a good enough intro for a legend within the game.
That is quite the intro, boys.
That is, it's incredible. However, I wonder if your microphone sounds good enough for us to actually use what you just did.
I think it sounds mint.
Sounds absolutely fine, yeah.
Okay, as long as you're happy.
Mate, it's those horrendous headphones that you got in that you're absolutely obsessed with, but no one else likes.
Do you know why they're really good? It's because I have perpetual hearing damage from years of playing in very loud bands.
I see.
And these cut out the minor bit of air between normal headphones and ear hole.
Shure headphones, right? Shure headphones are big. Yeah. Aren't they big music headphones?
These are the boys. These are the boys. Have you got your phone on while
I've
recording
just
a podcast?
It off and you've got dodgy headphones in, but we're ready to rock.
You know what? Just take back everything I've just said about it.
Well, I had to bring it back to normality. It was such a tremendous intro that I had to just get it back to reality here.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, this is if you are listening for the first time, we kind of portray, we have a veneer of professionalism, but that goes out the window exceptionally quickly. And also because Mr. Trot has brought he's brought with you. What have you brought?
Latitude 33 Blood Orange, boys. Blood Orange IPAs. Very nice beer.
0.0%, of course, because you would never ever catch us drinking on the job. We are the train drivers of the podcast world.
So we like to drink before the job though.
Again, I don't think train drivers are allowed to do that.
Like, I only say that because at 8:30 when we were watching the Arsenal Liverpool game, I did have a hazy IPA before we went out to film.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Great effort. 8:30 this morning, you on the hazy. It's great effort.
It's 4:30 in the UK, so.
Sure, yeah, I guess that works.
Honestly, it was horrendous. Like, so a bit of backstory. We're in California. Next week, we're at the Good Good event. Me and Trotty are a partnership there. We are going to be ripping the desert, a new one, and taking on all and sundry of the great and the good and the golf YouTube world. But before that, in California, getting some fitting done with Trotty, which we'll get into in a minute, filming some videos, a bit hairy in my mouth, and trying to get fit So I've been going on a run with Mick in the morning and also playing producer today. I want to say hello, Sam.
Hello.
Oh,
wow.
You can't see him, but his gruff, sunburned tones are over there somewhere.
And Sam is currently training for a ultra marathon, which is like...
like a marathon, but ultra.
Yeah. It's just...
It's really long.
Yeah, it's just like an extra level. So you got those psychopaths who run marathons, and then you've got like the elite level of psychopaths who do the ultra marathons. That's Sam.
Okay.
I mean, it's not that much more than a normal marathon.
How much? What's the actual distance?
31 miles instead of 26.
Still a long way.
It's still a long way.
But the reason that people do that race is so that they can tell people they've run an ultra marathon.
Right, okay.
You don't have to explain that it was only a little bit longer than a real
one. It's also in the Lake District, by the way. Just the elevation.
It's not good.
I must admit...
it's going to be a tough one.
I'm a little bit disappointed. I actually thought... that being an ultra marathon was going to be about like 60 odd miles. I feel
50k. You can do 100k ones, but I'm warming up to it.
I do feel a bit let down, Troy.
Well, what was the percentage? And we have a percentage at dinner last night saying that there's hardly anyone. Yeah, my missus was coming out.
There is a specific percentage of people who have completed a marathon. It's low.
I think it's under 1%.
Oh.
That's what was getting thrown around.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And then Mick came up with the, I did that before. About a 12-hour shift at the
office. Yeah,
I did
once run a marathon before work, which is, you know, when you're severely depressed, that's what you have to do to make the time pass.
I don't know if you're being serious or you're just trying to like David Brent it, like you were just like just throwing in all these stories at dinner, which didn't make any sense.
That did happen.
All right.
Yeah. I'm a crazy person. That's why we've been making you go out and run.
Well, I want to add to that how disappointed I am at you making him go out and run, because the poor bloke couldn't move after four holes the other day when we were playing golf. He was on the floor getting stretched out. I thought, this ain't good.
It was horrendous. It was so bad. Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about going running this morning, you're having a pint, breakfast burrito, running back. But
forgot to tell you about the burritos. We had burritos.
Yeah, we had burritos as well. Yeah,
they were delicious.
Good, you should in this town. This is a great burrito town.
Yeah, breakfast. If you've never had a breakfast burrito before, please do. Hot sauce all over it. And we've been running the last 3 days. And on the first day, I'd run the evening. We'd run in the morning. And that was when we went to the Kingdom. So TaylorMade's ultra high spec, beautiful, exclusive fitting center here in Carlsbad. To get a fitting with Trotty on... when's this coming out?
This is coming out on Tuesday, like it normally comes out.
When's the video coming out?
Oh, good question. I don't know. Who's got a sauna open?
Okay, we had an exclusive fitting at TaylorMade with Troy.
I might be able to tell you.
So we won't tell you what it was just yet. But I was... I wasn't striking it perhaps as well as I have in the past. Let's put it that way.
I've done this a lot though, so I'll give you some leeway. And I've seen you hit it before, but yeah, you turned up and you were jet lagged. It was obvious. It was obvious you'd just done a long flight. First shot was great though, because you called it and then you flushed it.
Should have gone home at that point.
Yeah, you should have. The first shot was fantastic.
I was trash.
It's coming out on the 14th.
Okay,
bag episode.
It's coming out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to be spending Valentine's Day together.
Oh, what a dream.
That's cute. We did a fit in that. I was terrible.
I take Chris Trott on a date.
Yeah,
There's your title. The thumbnail's you smooching.
Honestly, I mean, it was a little bit embarrassing with Troy, but yeah, we know each other. So It wasn't at all. It was lessened a little bit. But then I also had a ball fitting where literally half the R&D department came out of the TaylorMade HQ to do this ball fitting.
Yeah.
And I would not stop fatting it.
Oh, God, it was. Like one or two, you can be like, that can happen to anyone. By about the ninth fat, I was starting to think something's really going wrong here. This is, I almost stopped and said, can we have five minutes? Because he's not found the middle of the club face for about 45.
It's embarrassing.
It was bad.
And the problem is at the Kingdom, it's a grass driving range, which is a novelty at the moment. Yeah, I've just been hitting balls off a mat for like the last 2 months.
But it has rained. Like, we've got to be fair as well here. It has rained torrentially here, which never does. The place doesn't drain that great. And then at the end of the day, it's not easy to hit balls there. And yeah, it's not the easiest place to hit balls. Southern California, this time of year, is not the easiest place to hit balls.
Okay.
To be fair.
It was wet.
Yeah, but okay.
You then add in the travel and all that. It's just not easy. So I get it.
I'm going to take it. But yeah, it was trash. It was horrendous. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
But you know what? It was made better by the fact that they were going through, they had you hit pitch and wedge, and then you hit 7 and 5, and you couldn't find the face at all. It was awful. It was horrible. And then they said, oh, can we just have a couple of drivers? And I know how much you've been vibing with that driver. And you flush the first one straight out the middle. And all three of the guys from the team all looked at each other and went, we're in trouble. There were gasps.
In trouble in a good way.
In trouble in a good way. They're like...
Apparently.
They were like... I believe the lead guy said, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was high praise.
And they looked at each other like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, after they'd seen the irons and then the D comes out. Yeah. And just,
they were like, oh my God.
He can
How
play.
How can someone
he
be
can
this
play.
Good and this bad at once?
Yeah. It was like... They were looking at each other like, well, we've obviously got here a 22 handicapper masquerading as a pro. And then when I started hitting driver, they were like, wow.
Now we have a pro masquerading as a 22 handicapper.
Yeah, they were so confused.
The ultimate sandbagger.
I was absolutely ripping that driver, to be fair.
Yeah. You are impressive with the driver. I will vouch for that. You do hit driver well.
Thank you very much. And you know what? Coming from you, that is a compliment.
No, you do hit driver well.
We probably should explain a little bit about Mr. Trot, if you're not familiar with his work.
The title did it, I felt. The title got the opening, got it done.
Okay.
Just is that it? That's your entire story.
Yeah, there's that's nothing it else right to tell. There. We're done now.
There's nothing else to tell.
His bio. Just to give a little bit more context, Christopher, do you want to explain a little bit about your past work?
Yeah.
What you do, what
tell
you
us,
did.
Tell us about your earliest memory.
So,
where are you from? Where did you grow up? And how did you get into
Well, we
doing
can start that for sure.
Yeah.
Because you boys had me down as... Birmingham.
You could be from anywhere.
Yeah, you had me down as Birmingham, England. So we'll start from that.
Technically, I had you down as Wolverhampton. To be fair, if you just because I know you through Piers and Andy.
You had me down as Wolverhampton.
Yeah, I just had you down from the Midlands, yeah.
So what I'm going to say to you, my grandparents are from Wolverhampton. So I can half... A bit of me was impressed with this and a bit of me was like, this is shocking. So yeah, you had me down as Wolverhampton, but I'm from the Wirral. So I grew up in Hoylake. Just south of Hoylake, but Hoylake was the golf course eventually that I grew up in on the Wirral, where the Open was. Fantastic. Good player back then, to be fair. Wanted to play, went and did my PGA, and then moved to the Belfry. So that's why you're getting the Birmingham twang. So at like 18, okay. I went to the Belfry. So I was kind of like, fair enough. And then you did me on the how he's an Englishman speaking American and goes up in tone.
Yeah.
At the end.
Asking the question.
And the vocal fry starts to come out.
But then I was sort of like, fair dues, like low-lying fruit. All right, I'll give you that. But and I was like, I like these boys.
You haven't actually, you haven't done that though.
No, because I'm in the presence of you guys now, so but I'm trying to figure it out.
I think also, if there was ever going to be someone who can retain an accent, who's like got a hardened accent, having a combination of Scouse and Brummie.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's a real mission, isn't it?
That is like an... you can't penetrate that shield.
The only thing that could make that more impenetrable is if you had like a Glaswegian relative as well.
True.
Then you'd be
a legend. Then.
You walk into any pub in the world and get bought a pint.
Spent a solid 3 years in like the valleys in Wales as well.
Oh yeah, God.
Well, I've got one of my best mates is Welsh, so like that. I've kind of got that.
You can pick it up.
I can definitely put a good accent on.
Yeah.
So
do an accent now. I'm kidding. Don't.
I can see. So.
He did it.
So the situation would be from the Belfry. It's all very serious, you see there. It goes to the Belfry. I meet this boy from Wales and then we go up and do our PGA, but it becomes very competitive, you see. I could keep going on, but I won't.
It's excellent.
Anyway, at the Belfry at like late teens, early 20s, life kind of, there was a lot of us there. A lot of trainees went in at the same time and it did become very competitive. So I went there as... back on the old handicap system, for those that remember, I'd have been like a plus one. I was entered into big tournaments in the UK at the time, played loads of stuff as a junior. Nick Doherty was sort of like that era with him. Zane Scotland, good player, good lads. And basically decided I'm going to get my PGA. My old man kind of put it on. Like, look, you need to get something to fall back on. It was one of those conversations because I'm just like, I want to play on tour. It's all going to be good. So went and did this training at the Belfry, as you guys know about. You do 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. Played well in the region, had a nice time. And in the third year, the Belfry opened up a driving range that was a £1 million driving range. And TaylorMade came in and put in a fitting set, a fitting room. Callaway had a fitting room. Titleist and Ping shared a fitting room. And we became the number one green grass account in the UK for sales, all through selling through like an Achiever launch monitor. And this is all relevant because one day a guy comes in, Northern Irish bloke, and it's late.
Wait, hold on.
I've got an accent.
Was his surname McElroy?
No, no, just before him. I played in a tournament with him when he was a kid. So he was a bit behind me in age and played in a tournament with him. Actually think he finished middle of the pack as well in like some mini tour event. But
yeah, he's not all that.
You smoked him.
I wouldn't say smoked him, but he finished behind me in that one. The rest is, that's the only time that's ever
framed on the wall.
He was about 11. He's about 11. Anyway, we go on. This fella comes in and I meet this guy, fit him for his driver, long story short.
So how did you learn how to do all that stuff? Just because you had your PGA qualification, because you've been playing for a while, kind of just knew?
No, I was still a trainee. I was a good player. I really liked equipment. And being at the Belfry, as what used to happen back then, is we would have people turn up from, say, TaylorMade, and then they'd educate you on the product. It happens now, a bit like you've gone to do the golf ball testing, and you've had the R&D guys there. If you're into golf, you ask them questions. And then, you know, in your PGA training, you get basic fitting knowledge, but launch monitors had literally just come out.
Yeah, they didn't exist.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're a bit like, okay, mate, what does this mean? Talk to us about launch, talk to us about spin, talk to us about what we're going to do here. And you start to learn then about the launch monitor. You start to learn about what's going on. Then just working with amateurs, then obviously having the patter that I can sell. And we go on to be number one sales channel in the UK for TaylorMade. Guy comes, turns up. I fit him into his driver. At the end of the fitting, he says to me, how do you fancy traveling the world? Like this to me. Northern Irish, that's
God, your accent's you're getting
just
worse.
A man of 1,000 voices.
And
is this like an audition for you?
Yeah.
He hopes to get cast in somewhere.
Yeah. And it's funny because you boys all know Robert Rock, right? So Rocky, I'm mates with him. I'd been out with someone who knew him the night before, and it was a whole connection there through playing. And I talked to Rob a lot about clubs and swings and stuff. And I'm like, I say to this guy, like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, do you fancy traveling the world? And I was like, why are we going with this? And he's like, I've come to offer you a job. I've not come for a club fitting. I've come to see you. And
he dropped his accent and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he hadn't said that yet. Yeah, so I fit in for his exact driver. 9.5, 580, back when we had TaylorMade 580s. Graphaloid Pro Light Red, tipped an inch, 35S he was. Nice. Golf Pride Tour Velvet Grip. Yeah, I can remember. That's the weird thing about this gig.
I can remember anything. You actually could be speaking another language.
You know what he is? He's like Ollivander. He remembers every wand he's ever sold.
You know what?
Oh, my God.
The wand chooses the wizard, Mr. Potter.
Oh, my God.
I can tell you pretty much every club I've fit down to like an eighth of an inch. It's just crazy.
That is
the
wild.
Successful ones, for sure.
And someone say an eighth of an inch really matters.
Yeah. 16th matters with these boys. The 16th of an inch matters with these lads, let me tell you. Anyway, so basically fitting for the driver, and he offers me a job there and then. I take the job. I finish the PGA from Singapore, I think I was at where I finished my PGA. End up finishing like third in Europe in the PGA. Left TaylorMade to go and play, and then got edges of Challenge Tour, but realised I wasn't going to make it. I mean, these guys are so good. Yeah. And the same Irish guy called me up and he says, are you done? I don't know if we can swear.
Pretending to be a tour pro.
Basically, yeah. And he says, I can't keep this job very much longer for you and we want you back. And I was like, I'm coming back. So I went back. And do you know what? Since then, amazing. I mean, I did 7-8 years on the European tour. Then Europe and Asia were really getting big. I went and lived in Asia, got married, English girl. We both moved to Hong Kong. Started Korea, Asian tour, then Japan, then Australia, then TaylorMade bought Adams, then moved to Texas for like 5 weeks, then over to California, then on the PGA
enough?
Tour. Yeah. Well, no, because I ended up consumed in California, and which is great. And just on the tour for TaylorMade over here, having a great time. I learned so much over, like, this is over a case of a decade and a bit. Worked with every player there was. social media emerged, good friends, I think we touched on it with Piers and Andy because the Wolverhampton connection, and they were doing great with their business, and they were very much like, Piers was very much like, you should do more social media, you should do more. And I didn't really want to, because you're sort of, you're on the tour and you're trusted by these guys. So like, you might be playing and you'll ask me to do something and it's not really, you know, journalists are around and you don't say anything to them and you don't talk about it on social media. And but I've done it for so long. And in the end, in the last few years, I was like, you know what? I might start doing the odd thing. So yeah, I did. And then you'd emerged, Rick had emerged, and people were coming out and doing great at it. And I just started to then talk a little more. COVID happened, it gained traction. And before you know it, I was in a situation where, you know, I'd started my own YouTube channel and it was like, right, I'm gonna do this. I've got a very deep connection still with TaylorMade, but now I'm all in on my own stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's definitely the right way to go. I mean, we said this during the fitting and we said this when Pete played with you yesterday, like you've got all the things that are required to do the YouTube job. You've got the character and you've got the knowledge and you've got the skill set. It's just like building now. That's all you need.
And hearing that from you guys though, and your following will know this, but to come and to see, and this is, so for me being on the tour, and I touched on it again with you with the golf ball guy, we had a launch monitor guy come to TaylorMade 2003 and 2004, really early.
Vector. Was it Vector?
It was, what was he called? Achiever? No, that won't be it. Look at your face, that's not it.
He's not liking that one.
The Achiever, I'm sure it was the Go Achiever.
On. Yeah, the first launch one we used was Vector, and you had to put silver dots on the golf ball.
On the ball, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, but I think it was one after that. I'm sure it's called the Achiever. Anyway, bottom line is, seeing those guys, and then you'd ask them questions, then you'd get on tour, and you'd be with tour players, and you'd ask them questions, then you'd meet coaches that you respect, you'd ask them questions, then caddies. And I'm not afraid to ask a question. And to see you guys and the way you do it, I've obviously asked all three of you quite a few questions already, did the same with Piers and Andy, but you sort of watch it. So to hear that from you guys is where I was going is great. I mean, because this is some of the best, I know you joke about it and I'm expecting you to take the mickey out of me now, but you are obviously one of the best at this. And to see the way you do it, it's brilliant. I mean, we have stuff coming out that we're going to bring out and it, on the golf course, phenomenal to watch. You know what I mean? Like turns it on, gets it done. No, I asked you a question I think about because I still have a bit of a connection in my mind to how I used to play. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy doing this YouTube stuff. You know, if you hit a bad shot that is not what you expect to hit, you have a fantastic reaction to it. Really good. I struggle with that still. It's so early for me to be playing golf doing this that I'm a bit like, that's a shocking golf shot.
You react
great. It's a compliment.
Oh yeah, no, but it's all scripted. Like if I wanted to, well, I could shoot 62 every day I went out.
Yeah.
But what I do is I'm like, well, you know, I think it needs a bad shot here.
Yeah. So yeah. To humanize it.
We have like an algorithm, right? David back at home, who we joke is basically part cyborg. He has an algorithm and we work out how many bad shots it takes for the normal viewer to relate to the content.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we put that many in.
And you know what? I'm really relatable.
Sometimes too relatable on the old bad shot count.
Right now, I am the most relatable golfer in the world. If you'd have watched me hit shots at the Kingdom, I was actually beyond relatable.
I actually think, and I'm making more work for myself right now because I'm going to edit this podcast, I actually think I might splice in some of the trash.
It's not going to make it will literally not be any more work for you because all you need to do is pick a random shot.
Jenny, I don't need to cycle through and find the bad ones.
Any shot.
Anything before you hit that driver was not great.
God.
I was studying some of the divots afterwards and I was looking at them thinking, maybe.
Okay, so I'll help Pete out a little bit here. Three of those divots were me and Sam.
Okay.
The very well-dressed guy who was wearing Melbourne, he had like a fleecy job on, he was knocking about.
Canadian fella?
Potentially.
Yeah, Drew.
Drew, correct.
Yeah, Drew, yes. Definitely. He's a bit of a divot taker.
He was like, bit steep, aren't you?
Yeah.
I was like, thanks.
Digging.
Oh, God.
I was like, yes, I am. So those ones weren't yours, but the rest.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
There were some great ones as well.
Ah, whatever. But, I mean, it is interesting, Troy, because I think with it, you're coming to this from a very different position as well. So, like, from my point of view, when I started, it was very much just coaching, and then it's evolved into something else. And obviously, I do equipment reviews, but that is more me learning as I go about equipment, where you're coming from a position of expertise. And I think that's a great spot to be in, because there's not really that many other people that are doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that you do your stuff, I don't want this to turn into a bit of a loving, but, you know, I think...
We're allowed to.
Yeah, no. You were giving him loads the other day for being positive, and now you're the ones who...
Yeah, I know. And I know it makes me feel uncomfortable about being nice and all the rest of it. It's disgusting.
So English.
In our end of year reviews, we obviously, like, we set some goals for the year, which is great. And we also, like, get an opportunity to, you know, feedback to Pete the things that we feel could have, you know, gone better throughout the year that we want to definitely, like, work on. And to a man, all of us were like, we'd like you to be a little bit more positive towards the work that we do. the best
typical northerner.
Oh,
Pete.
Dude, it's so typical. Like, you'll spend a morning, like, putting together something that you think is unreal, right? You'll go so deep on graphics, will be good, tracers look really nice, all of the edit is fire, the music's so good. Pete will come over and he'll watch it, and high praise from Pete last year. He is getting much better, but last year, high praise from Pete was like, yeah,
it's good.
I love that. What do they want? Do your job.
Exactly.
I'm with you, mate. Do your job.
Exactly. I mean,
Roy Keane over there.
From my point, yeah.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah. From my point of view, though, is like, with the work they do, obviously doing a great job, and I say, yeah, it's good. No. But if there's something that is, like, exceptional, and then I'm going, you know what, that is really, really good, they know. You know what I mean?
That doesn't happen.
100%.
It's, oh, wow, we're not doing very good work, are we?
So, yeah, I'm like, you know, I want to make sure that when I do give praise, they know that it's for real, and I'm not just like...
100%. I'm with you, mate. I mean, I'm like this with my kids, and it's like, you got to be the same with your kids. You said these are your kids.
You know, it's just different generation, isn't it?
I think so, mate. I really do.
Speaking of generations, do you want to talk us through... Like, I find it fascinating that the way you do your job, you are literally like some sort of like clairvoyant wizard, right? I would like to know what's different from like when you started doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like to 100%. Now.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry. I'm not quite over the fact that you just looked at him and said, you're some kind of clairvoyant wizard, and then you nodded.
Fair. Well, listen, he's totally right.
He is.
I can tell you now, the fitting process on tour, very different to commercial for a start. The clubs are very different. What you can do to the clubs are very different. And
hold on, what?
Yeah.
Pause that for 1 second.
Right. So yeah. this is something which we spoke about a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
Last week. And sorry to interrupt. When you say, like, the clubs are very different for the tour guys.
Yeah.
I mangled this explanation a little bit last week, but you just want to explain that a little bit more.
So out of the gate, and this will be contrary to belief, they're slower for a start because they cannot be, and this is today. So I'll answer it as if it's today, and then I can answer it as if it was when I started on tour. So today for TaylorMade, the clubs on tour are going to be slower, and they're only slower because they've been double tour inspected. Because what happens is when you get Rory hitting, now he'll always hit good golf balls, he's not going to be hitting range balls, but when you get Rory hitting 150 of these golf balls, the face will creep. So we test it throughout the year, we being TaylorMade. They send R&D out 6 times a year. To test the club for the coefficiency of restitution, which is the bounce, the jump off the face, the trampoline, and basically make sure that thing's nowhere near illegal. Now, when Rory won the Tour Champs last year, year before, whenever it was, he was close, real close to the limit. You remember an Open Championship going back, we were the one Lowry won. and poor Xander Schauffele gets done for an illegal driver. So he's then on the range with the Callaway reps on a Tuesday at a major, working through drivers. Like, that's a nightmare. You're talking about then a player that, and still, was in the running to win that tournament, and all of a sudden has to play a new driver on Thursday of a major championship. It's so all of the stuff on tour is for good reason, but it's also based for the tour player. Now, what else is different? Every component, every part, when you assemble it, is weighed. Like, that's the other thing. Like, when you buy a golf club, there's a tolerance, because we don't know, you know, you're selling to the man who's 6'5" to the man who's flipping 5'4". You know what I mean? So you've got to hit the...
The trotty is tiny.
I'm like, sat on a cushion.
Yeah. I've had to zoom in the camera so that he looks bigger.
But you're trying to hit an average. And the other thing is, which I hate, but it is a reality, amateurs miss right. They slice and they miss right. Do they really understand face angles? Do they really understand lie angles? Do they understand center of gravity locations without making yourself sound like some sort of boffin? And clubs are made for those guys. So when you get a player up there who can half play and you're trying to fit them, and you've got clubs that are just designed to hit it left, all of a sudden the good player hits it left.
It's a very weird... It's one of the strange things about golf and golf equipment and players, more to the point, is that pretty much every single amateur does not want to miss right, whereas every single pro pretty much wants to miss right.
100%.
Do you wish you could hit more slices?
No, it's more about if you miss left, a left miss misses and goes further. A left miss is horrendous to see in the air because you know it's going to carry on. You know it's going to go.
Spin is less. It's coming out heated.
Yeah,
because of the draw.
It's just going to carry on and it's just never good.
If so you generally prefer the spinny right miss?
100%.
Yeah, generally if it's a spinny right miss and you account for what is around the green and trouble, a spinny right miss is going to give you an opportunity to get up and down.
A nice necky cut.
So I'll tell you a story now with this. When it comes to professionals and it comes to tour players, I think it was the Open Championship at Birkdale that Harrington won. Stood on the range and he tells the story, but I've been there with him in a restaurant when he tells it. Two drivers, TaylorMade, almost certain. Could have been a Wilson, almost certain a TaylorMade though. So check that, somebody. On the range on the Wednesday.
Thanks.
Someone's going to check that in the comments for sure.
What kind of operation?
You have all sorts of people commenting, but I can talk about the TaylorMade driver that Harrington
had. There's actually nine people behind the camera who were actually just researching everything.
So, boys, that's why we're out of these beers already. Anyway, he's hitting balls, and he's hitting on the right side of the range, down, and they put, at the Open Championship, as you know, they put the iron, like the fence down, the temporary fence. And he's got two drivers, and one of them is blasting outright of the range. Outright, outright, outright. And the other one is piping it down the edge of the range. And he turns to Ronan, his caddy, and he says, well, we know which one's going in. And Ro's like, yeah, yeah, we do. And Harrington telling the story, he's like, there's four people behind watching him hit. And he's like, they obviously all assume he's taking the one that's hitting it pipe down the range. But under adrenaline, under the pump, he wants the driver. It had 17 grams of hot melt in it, which is what makes me think it was a TaylorMade, because we know that. And that means that you pull the center of gravity. So hot melt is a glue. I knew you.
Explain that to people. Sorry, mate.
Hot melt is a glue, and this is a very Tory thing. Hot melt is a glue that you can place in the head to pull the center of gravity into position. So R7 quad comes out. So, to 2004, and you could move 8 grams. It was deliberately 8 because it was a 10 in the back and a 2 at the front at retail. But tour, you could throw an 18 in there, or you could throw a 1. Like, 1s didn't exist because they would break under a torque wrench. But on tour, if it breaks, you just get another head. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't worry about it. So basically, we were learning that moving the CG, 8 grams was enough to move the CG for the consumer and the golfer to realize it. Harrington gets onto this, throws 17 grams of hot melt in the toe, because he then knows that if he releases that as if he's going to draw it, but it doesn't draw, he can add speed. We all know now Harrington is obsessed with speed, but he was even back then, just releasing the head. Didn't want to miss left. If he releases it, gains yardage, hits it 4 or 5 yards further. If he hits it 4 or 5 yards further, enter Mark Brody. Every shot counts. That book came out a little bit after that, But the learning and the understanding from tour, the further you hit it, the easier the game is analytically. Now you go, Nick Flanagan won the US amateur. Great kid, Aussie guy, not a kid anymore. I think he won it at Oakmont. Comes out, gets in at Loch Lomond. I meet him at Loch Lomond. Young guy, I'm young at the time. Me and the Flan man get on straight away. Get on straight away. And here's this young kid, scared of missing left, throwing an 18 gram weight in his R7 quad in the front toe. And it's like, she couldn't miss it left. Mm. So of course, immediately then me as a golfer goes and gives it a go. And I'm hitting this thing right of three fairways right. I mean, that is never going left. But to give you an idea, that is the what these tour players will go to. And then working with them, you get sucked into the fact that they just hit it bomb straight. And you will try all this stuff. But it's great for you as a fitter. It's great for you as a teacher. It's great for you as a player to see this. And it's almost like, if I try and put it, certainly people in England will understand this, it's like sitting on the sidelines of a Premier League game every week and you're getting to fiddle around with the tactics or mess around with the team sheet. It's amazing. It's, if anyone wants to do it and you can get those jobs, it's, and you like golf, and you have to be good at what you do, but they're the best jobs in the world.
How many of those jobs are there in the world, though?
That's not many. Yeah. 15.
And will you just retire so someone else can have it? Or?
Well, obviously now I've dived into a whole new world with social media. So, I mean, my spot's pretty much been filled. I could get back out, no worries, if I wanted to, because they're hard jobs to do because you've got to travel that bit.
No one wants to do that bit.
No. For me, that was a privilege. But no one wants to do that anymore.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine the kids have a major effect on not wanting to go everywhere over the place.
Yeah. But at the time, I was 23, 24, and I did it for 15 to 18 years. So you do the maths. It's like, it was great. It was amazing. Mm. And look, it delayed my start into YouTube. It delayed my start into other things in my career. But if I sit here and I'm honest with you guys, I do not regret it at all. I had a great time. I saw Tom Weisskopf, Tom Watson, Ian Woosnam, Sandy Lyle, Martin Keimer, Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, Matthew Wolf. You go all through it. And you're working with these players from being a kid.
You didn't mention Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood. I love Tommy Fleetwood. He gets an honorary. He knows it. Yeah. But you're working with these people as a kid first. So you've got like the Lyles looking not down at you, but helping you understand their views on golf equipment. Then all of a sudden you're as an equal in terms of age, maybe roughly, with the Keimers, and you're on this journey with them. Like, we used to go go-karting with Martin Keimer every year. We went to Wales to the Celtic Manor. We'd go go-karting and he'd just come out. He's the same, exactly the same as us. Same age, same guy. We'd be like, every year, go-kart, yeah, no worries. Go-karting, cool. Rosie, the same, like almost identical age group, maybe a year older or two in the England setup, no problem. And then all of a sudden you go on again and you meet Dustin, who's just the same dude, but American. So you get to a different culture and you understand that. Mm. Obviously, I had a ton of time in Asia. So around Wirachamp, which you guys wouldn't know, Jai D, Afi Barmrat, remember him, Kiradek, the guy with the Thai spinner, roughly a bit younger than me, but you're doing that in Thailand. So a different culture, meet all the Aussies, all the South Africans. It's brilliant. And then you finally get to the PGA Tour and then it's like the new breed comes through. So you've seen it all before. They no longer fear the miss left. Mm. Like Morikawa, just there is no fear. Wolfie, there is no fear.
Yeah.
And these guys just nuke it. As a kid at the Kingdom, the day we were there, I told you boys about it at the time.
Yeah. You
unbelievable.
When the video comes out, you might be able to hear it in the background.
But the thing is, guys, it takes a lot now in the golf world for me to get, like, I was sitting, you were doing an intro, you'd gone into the Kingdom, and I was just sat and just, you know, on my phone and then sitting back looking, and I was watching this ball just sail out, and then to your point, I was hearing it, and I got out of my chair. I went to go and see him, and this is how great social media is. The dad is like, "Oh, can we get a picture with you?" I looked at him and said, "A picture with me?" I said, "Are you taking the piss?" I said, "I want a picture with your son." I said, "This kid's going to be unbelievable.
He's going to win the US Open in exactly. 5 years' time."
Do you know, I got his number though. He direct messaged me that night. He said, "I really wanted a picture," and I said, "Mate, you don't need a picture with me." And I gave him my phone number, and I was like, "Dude, if ever you," he says, "well, we'll have to play golf." I said, "I am not playing golf with you."
Oh, dude, you don't want that.
No, I said, "You are far too good. I'm never playing golf with you." I said, "I will partner with you in a game of golf, whatever you want." I said, "But," he said, "well, do you think I could be in some video?" I said, "I'd be an honor to have you in a video. We'll do a fitting video." He's like, "Oh, next time I come down." I said, 100%.
Yeah.
This kid, I'm not saying anyone's a lock, but nowadays, Pete, if you can't hit it flipping 180 ball speed and he's cruising at 180. The game is just so different.
Yeah.
Like you go back to when I was doing it back in the early 2000s, there's a fella called Miles Tunnicliffe. I don't know if you guys remember him, but he hit like little butter squeezy cuts. They're going out there 265, 270. Guy won on tour three or four times, but it's like he doesn't exist anymore this day and age.
That type of player.
Done.
Yeah.
Scott Drummond winning the PGA. Doesn't exist anymore.
By the way, Miles Tunnicliffe.
Great player.
Is a absolute blast from the past.
That good player. Good player, though.
Yeah, he was, player. If you want like a definition of what 90s European tour was like, Miles Tunnicliffe is the boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, that is such a
blast. I'll find a picture. Past. Here's a picture.
But no, you're right. I mean, the actual, that kind of baseline of the young next generation, it's so speed orientated.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the first thing off the block, because everybody knows now that it's such a big advantage to have that ability to smash the ball out there. So that's
it's amazing.
Where everyone's beginning.
It's amazing. I had a message today from David Lynn. Do you boys remember David
Linney?
Yeah,
yeah.
And another player, big, like sometimes 40 yard fades he did. 40 yard fades. It's like, what are you doing? But made millions playing golf.
Mac Boucher.
He's basically a tour version
of
Mac.
Tour Mac Boucher.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's amazing. And, a privilege to have those jobs, a privilege to do it for sure. Yes, the travel is a nightmare. But Pete Cowan, very famous coach on the tour, you can ask Pete any question you want. And Seve. I mean, I even got to speak to Seve and ask him questions.
Wow.
Faldo. Like people that I idolized. Alathabal. And then all of a sudden you become mates with like Foley. Great golf coach. Obviously I worked with Tiger in his heyday, really. And now, doing so much more with Tiger, the way the world's gone, you do a podcast with the guy. And again, because of my great relationship with TaylorMade, which I'm really proud of, I remember looking at the script for the podcast and it was given to me by a writer at TaylorMade. And I was like, I hate this.
Yeah.
I hate everything about this.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like any of the questions I want to ask
no.
you.
So I went to see the guy who literally the VP of marketing. And I just said to him, have you seen the script for this? Obviously, he hadn't seen the script for it. He's like, no.
I'm far too busy
basically,
making us millions
exactly.
of pounds.
Exactly. And I just said to him, he said, why, what's wrong? And I just said, it's just not golfy. It's just not genuine. It's not who we are.
Yeah.
And this is how great that company is. He just looked at me and he said, you write it.
Yeah, do it then.
You do it. He says, you're asking the questions. He says, you do it and... You've been here forever. We trust you.
Yeah, so...
That was amazing.
I'm glad you took us there because I've been itching to ask you these questions. You have obviously fitted and, advised on equipment some of the best players the best player of all time in Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tell us some stories.
So the Tiger situation with me in the fitting, I want to lay this down because it's important that you do. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I've worked with Tiger intensely. Not at all.
Yeah.
There's an engineer at TaylorMade called Paul Dymkowski. Great lad. We actually fist bumped, I think, when we were at reception with you boys the other day. He was integral in Tiger's irons. And as he rightly should be. I mean, far more qualified than me to work on golf clubs. He was integral in Tiger's irons. Then Keith Sbarbaro, that was my boss at the time, he's been integral with Woods on Tiger. The only real interactions I had with him on equipment was around putters, believe it or not,
when
the Ardmore went in. So basically, Taylor, I'd been on tour forever, big early adopter on launch monitors, and decided that towards the end, I think we went through a recession maybe, people got let go, and the putter role came open on the PGA Tour, and I said, well, rather than we fill it because of headcount, I don't mind having a season or two doing that. I fancy that.
I'll take that on as well.
Difficult job because how do I word this? Maybe you say it. TaylorMade putters, maybe in the marketplace, you say what you think there and I'll just nod.
I mean, they're all right.
Okay, good. So, you're going out and you're hustling.
It's so diplomatic.
Yeah. You get what I mean, though. It's a tough job, mate.
Yeah, I mean... It has to be said that, like, for your average consumer, TaylorMade putters they're fine. Like, they're absolutely
they're
fine.
Good.
Every company makes a really good putter.
As long as they don't have 4 degrees of loft.
Correct. I'm going to add to that. TaylorMade has one of the marketing things over the last couple of decades have been their number one performance brand in golf. What I will say about TaylorMade putters, to be fair, because they got the Spider when I was doing it to be number one model on tour. That Spider, for the amateur, phenomenal.
The Jason Day spider.
Yes.
Yeah.
But which they've brought back out again. So what does that tell you about that?
But that was also a bit of a, that was a bit of a moment as far as like we're around the spider. It's because Taylor Bay Putters, kind of as Trotty was alluding to there, if you were a tour pro, you didn't really use a tailor-made putter because generally nobody else was using one.
Right.
So
you don't want to be the only guy using it.
Honestly, it's so, and like Troy's been out on tour a lot longer than me, but it's amazing how quickly, if somebody is using, say, a training aid on tour,
100%,
and they have a half decent week, that training aid is across the range
100%
the next month.
We played golf today with a guy who's got that jailbird putter from last year, the Odyssey one.
Yeah, that's honestly, it just goes around.
Two players, Ricky Fowler had a great year with it, and Wyndham Clark won with it. So everyone's got it in the bag.
First off, it was Answer, then it was Answer 2, then it was Odyssey 2 ball. Yep. Paul Laurie, Odyssey, to set the whole world alight.
Yeah.
Trackman, everyone went nuts on tour for. Foresight, the quad, everyone went nuts for that.
That's the thing, now everyone's got literally at the range, the amount of people who had Trackman and quad, because everyone else has Trackman and quad.
Because they think that one is superior for golf ball, the other one is superior for club, and now loads of the full swings are kicking around as well. Like there's a lot of different launch monitors than ever. But the bottom line is, to your point where Pete's going with this, a tour player back in the 2000s, or when I got on this gig, to be fair, the guy before me had laid a good foundation and he'd really fought the fight. Blades, like Mike Weir era, winning the Masters Blade, Tiger winning Masters Blade. And then basically these mallets come out and then there's the emergence of the two ball. The spider gets on the back of that. And before you know it, Jason Day comes out and he's all in on this thing and he's your flagship guy. Then DJ carries the torch. Then Rahm carries the torch. And the statistics, which is where my job at TaylorMade ended up going, which is why I'm so deep now in statistics and changing golf clubs around your stats. Basically, Dustin from something like 9 feet and in would hole, which for a tour player is huge, something like 0.2 of a shot or 0.5 of a shot less over the tournament with a spider. You can't sleep on that at that level because that's millions of dollars.
That's lots of shots.
Well, now obviously the game's changed with LIV, which we could talk about that in a whole nother podcast. But back then, pre-LIV, you didn't sleep on that, which is why spider was a tricky sell. But to Pete's point, once people got on the train, it just went stupid.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like as soon as somebody does something, anything, like whether it's equipment or whether it's a training aid,
new
whether
technique,
it's
new...
whether a coach.
Yeah,
that snowball effect.
I see a kind of like explosion of people chipping cross-handed because Fitzpatrick had success doing it. You're like...
It doesn't take a lot. It just takes one person to be that needle mover. And then everyone else starts to follow because they want a slice of that success. And it is something that helps golf continue to improve. You know, it's not a secret why distance is so much of a thing now. It's because people like Tiger and then people who followed after him in this new athletic mode.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Have become more successful,
And Brody proved it.
And Brody proved it, yeah.
So your Tiger connection is putter based. What did you help with? What did you do?
So I remember he had a Scotty Cameron came on the truck, and we were somewhere weird, like not weird. Jesus, that sounds terrible. But we were somewhere that you wouldn't expect him to be. like a Detroit, I think. We were just
talking about Detroit.
It was like a...
By the way, big on my Detroit massive.
Chris Trott thinks Detroit's weird.
It was a tournament that you wouldn't expect him to play, just to clarify.
Last year, and I had a great time, and I loved the city.
I love Detroit.
I will apologise on Chris's behalf.
I'm just saying that it was a tournament that you wouldn't expect him at. It wasn't Detroit either. It was somewhere, it might have been somewhere like Charlotte. I can't remember.
Oh, so you hate Charlotte?
Exactly. I'm just going to quit wherever it was. Anyway, the guy turns up and... he basically decides that he's got all these different putting greens at his property with different grasses on them. And one of the greens, he doesn't like the way his Cameron rolls on it, but he's intrigued by the insert. And he only wanted the hardest insert we made because he knew that the hardest insert that TaylorMade made was the quickest ball speed. And it was pace that was getting him. So if you use the stainless steel or aluminium, which I'm doing for you boys.
Aluminum.
Correct. If you use that insert, stainless steel was one beyond that, so it was the aluminium.
God.
I know.
So American. Say awesome gone. Again.
Yeah, awesome. He realised that the speed, the roll was the most efficient on that. He figured all that out himself, which is absolutely true.
No launch monitor, no nothing. No,
which is absolutely true. Freak. It is the most efficient one. And he wanted to get into that. Then he wanted a slightly different CG. So obviously I'm given this Cameron, which you obviously take a million pictures of, and then I measured it thinking that the guys would want to build something back home, but they're like, no, we'll just scan it, like CAD scan it. We'll get it. And so I was like, oh, right, yeah, sorry, guys, yeah, whatever.
Sorry, you're smarter than I am.
Yeah, I was just trying to do the best I could do. It felt like Pete giving the appraisal, saying...
Yeah, exactly. For reference.
I had everything out. It was one of those set like rulers.
Set square.
Yeah. And the boys were like, why are you sending us these pictures?
What are you doing? You're sending it on eBay.
And I was like, I thought you'd want it. And they were like, no, you dick. You don't want that. Anyway, they're all on my phone or they're in a hard drive now. And the sweet spot, and I obviously are marveling over it. And I'd actually had it in my hands before at a Ryder Cup, which is another story. But here I am 20 years later holding this putter, and he wanted it bent. He wanted the lie angle changed.
Ooh.
Exactly.
That is rough.
It is not a good feeling.
How can you possibly get the lie angle right when you're shaking?
But I'm not worried about shaking. What I'm worried about is how old it is. What happens if it goes?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
You could get quite snappy.
Yeah, because I knew a story from a friend of mine who used to work a lot with Faldo, and he had that TPA 18, and he had to bend that.
Mm.
And he told me years after that he never actually bent it. He put it in the vise, and he just, like, held it. Nick was there, Sir Nick, and he sort of, like, but he didn't move it. Because, obviously, that's a stainless steel putter.
Yeah,
pretty much. I'm holding Tigers. I know it's going to move. But the worry is with that, it's going to be like jelly. It's going to move easy.
Yeah.
So I took some of the guys on tour, they'll bend with their hands when they get it in the machine, and others will, there's a device to bend it. I took the device and I put it on and I bent it and I moved it just half a degree, which was all he wanted. And he wasn't there to do it. He never comes on the truck. It was like, I had to run it back out to him, and he's like, yeah, he does it. Yeah, good. Does it all by eye. He's like, yeah, that's good. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. Off you go.
Survived.
Yeah. And so then I got to work on these TP Ardmores was the name of the putter.
Yeah,
and then it was like, out in. And he went away with it. And I remember seeing him again, not a huge amount of time later. And this putter looked battered. But I can accept maybe the odd chip if it's got knocked. But the insert, I reckon he'd hit in that short period of time. I reckon he'd been putting literally since he left me.
Non-stop.
I honestly think so. Because I've seen these putters a lot, and that stainless steel or aluminum, whatever it was, they don't mark up that easy. And it had a wear mark in it. And he'd only been gone like 2.5-3 weeks.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my
He must
God.
Have just putted considerable amounts.
He's putting it through the ringer.
Yeah, that's wild.
And I remember Taylor, he used the blackout ping. Remember the skinny ping grip he used to use on the Lampkin?
Oh, yeah, love it.
And I remember the lads had to go to like the PGA Tour Superstore, and then they went up to Orange County down the road here, and literally TaylorMade had about 18 of these grips in within a day, because you can't get them, they're hard to get.
Yeah.
And there was 18 of them in TaylorMade for like the next day, and he had about another. So when I got back, and obviously I showed the pictures, and we took the spec of what we built, the weight of everything, and then we were sending these putters out but he stuck with that original one. And yeah, it went from there, and he played with it and did well with it. He nearly won with it, and obviously then sadly went back to the Cameron, but it was good. And then after that, I got to do the podcast with him, or before that I did the podcast with him, which was great. And I remember asking him a question at the end, because he has his own wedge that TaylorMade helped design that with his guy who does his wedges. And I don't know if you've ever used that TW wedge, but there's a huge, they call it a ski at the front. So most wedges have like a camber and a bounce. He has this additional ski, because it's like the tip of a ski, and it's almost 23 degrees of bounce. I don't know if you've ever chipped with that on the leading ski.
I think we've got TWs in the office.
Have you ever used it?
Yeah, they're pretty tricky.
We have
like a kind of pretty loose borrowing policy in the office, and I've played a couple of rounds with them. They're really, really
loose,
hard.
Yeah. Loose borrowing. What does that sound like to you?
Sounds very northern.
I'll tell you what, most of my bag I don't own.
Loose borrowing.
I like it. Okay. But I'd been playing around with this wedge, and I hadn't been having a lot of success with it. And I remember we'd just finished, and he had a guy who I think was connected to Augusta that worked for him, sat much like we've got producer sat there, and he's behind it, and he, as if he's where Sam is, and he just gives it the old, to me.
Oh, nice.
And
speed
I'm like,
it up. That's what I'll be doing too.
And, yeah. And I'm looking over, and I'm like, and I was given 30 minutes for Tiger. 30 minutes. Mm. Now, this is, TaylorMade has 30 minutes. My responsibility to see this podcast lasts 29 minutes and 59 seconds. That is my responsibility.
Yeah.
And he does it again, this fella. And I look over, and I looked at my watch, and I had 5 minutes left, and I just went like that to him. Threw a little five
threw
at
a
him.
Five at him.
And the guy...
You threw him the Brooks Koepka.
I did, and he's an old boy. Like, typical, like, I mean, you know, country club Augusta, knows what he's doing, and he didn't appreciate it. And I was just like, dude. And then I went like that and gave him four. And I was like, don't rush, mate. Don't rush me and don't rush him.
Did you give him the four like that? Or was it, did you add two and two? Like, which way
smart.
Did you do it?
Yeah, a three was way better.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Was, and then when he got excellent. To two, it was one of them.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is I remember we finished and he goes to walk off. And I said, Tiger, can I ask you one more question? And someone was in there from marketing. And they were doing selfies with him. I was like, he hates this. So I just was like, can I have one question? I said, your wedges. I said, give me some advice on like how to use them. And he just said, well, you have to set, based on the shot you're playing, is going to dictate which part of the bounce you use. So there's three different cambers, and he didn't answer it as detailed as that, but he basically said to me, you know, if you're going to use the front, set your hands here. If you're going to use the middle, set them there. If you're going to use the back there, commit to it. And he's like that. And then I asked a follow-up question, and you could tell I'd gone too far, because he looked at me and he just went, it's all in the hands. And his hands were like moving, like, and he goes, it's all in the hands. Good. And that was as if to say, like, you've had your questions. Get out of it.
You've had 29 minutes.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. We've had enough questions. See you later, son.
You should have gone.
But it's great, though, because that was obviously a few years ago. And then I went to the photo shoot in the fall here with TaylorMade in autumn.
The fall?
Autumn. Sorry, lads. And, you know, he was amazing with me. So we get on set, and he was in great form this year. And when he's in great form, it's amazing.
It lifts everyone,
doesn't it? Does. Yeah. It does. He's amazing.
And I think people must be like nervous when he's coming in. And
100%.
People are nervous.
100%.
And then when he's in a good mood, you're like, oh, great.
100%. And TaylorMade obviously has, because TaylorMade, rightly so, new people come in all the time. Everyone wants to live in California. You get a job and then you get invited to the photo shoot. And it's amazing to be there. And Tiger is there and he's on set. And I know that I'm like used a bit as the ringmaster to get all these people fired up. Tommy is always brilliant, always great fun. We're kind of local back home. So he's always going to be like a wingman if you need him. Rory is always great. Scotty's always great. But you know, Nelly was new to the whole thing this year. I don't really know Nelly. So you're like having to be like, and she was great, and they all help. But Tiger, if he goes south, it just makes it tough. And I went up to him, and I remember going up to him last year, 2 years ago, wearing some weird like circus act outfit and holding a cane. And he's just laughing at me because TaylorMade do these jokey things. And I'm like, mate, I've got to wear it, but you're like, you drag this out, I got to look like a
mop it even longer. You know what I mean?
Was it the dunk tank thing?
It was the year after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, I see him at this one and I said, all right, mate, how you doing? And he looks at me and he goes, I was doing great until I saw you, Traddy. I was like, perfect.
Yeah, I'll you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah,
this enough. Is going to be great. And that when you get him like that, he's fantastic.
Make sure
and,
you...
Yeah, it just game changes everything, boys. Game changes everything. Yeah. I hope the game gets someone else who can take it forward. I really do. But, I mean, obviously this Anthony Kim thing is great news for the game. Obviously, I knew him in the heyday. Mm. And that was amazing. Phenomenal talent. And if he comes back, it's another great story. But Tiger, I mean, luckily with golf and like our heroes, they keep playing and keep playing.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can keep playing. And if he gets one more major, brilliant. And I mean, if he gets two, then we'll all be praying for the record. Yeah, exactly.
I think, listen, I want it to happen as much as everyone else, but
nah,
it's just, you know, I don't think he's got it in him.
No, you can never write him off because of who he is and because everyone wrote him off and then he came back and obviously he's won another one.
He has a history of coming back from adversity.
Exactly.
In my, I just want to add to that. I think you can never write him off at an Open Championship, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think you can never write him off at Augusta.
Augusta, yeah. It's Augusta in the Open. Yeah. Those are the ones that he could potentially win.
But these beast golf courses nowadays... Yeah. Tricky.
Yeah, he'll struggle against the Brookses of the world.
But if they send it to Torrey Pines again, but then he'd be too old probably by the time it goes back to Torrey Pines.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But guys, what a great thing to see and what a great thing to watch and what an athlete.
Have there been any people who you have, you know, fit or watched them hit balls and had interactions with where you weren't expecting great things and you were pleasantly surprised? Or you were like, wow.
Good question. Yes. And they'd all be names that the ones that you're pleasantly surprised all be names you haven't heard of because you'd watch him hit balls and you'd think, I could beat him. And he's on tour. You know what I mean? So that's not even worth mentioning and it'd be disrespectful, but they'd be the only, them and their mum would be the only people who know who they were. So no point in doing that. And kudos to them, by the way, because they got on tour. And then people that you watch and you're like, wow, nowadays the kids, for sure. I mean, Wolfie, when I first saw him hit balls, was phenomenal.
What's that swing like in real life?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Weird.
Unbelievable, yeah. Ridiculous. Like the planes, it changes in the downswing. Ridiculous. Colin Morikawa for just how mature he is for someone so young. Ridiculous. Then I go to guys like Shane Lowry, how normal he is.
He looks so loose when he swings.
Yeah. But just I used to like watching Alathabal around chipping greens. Mm. I like watching Shane around chipping greens. Yeah.
Shane's great as well because he's no idea what he's doing.
He definitely does know what he's doing. One of the boys, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, honestly, we did it like very early in the day. We did some stuff with Golf Monthly and Lowry down at Bearwood Lakes, and he was doing some like coaching stuff. And he was saying, so like the guys from Golf Monthly were trying to get him to explain how he did things. And he was like, so, you know, obviously you shape the ball and all the rest of it. Can you talk us through, you know, talk our readers through, you know, how you...
I bet he wouldn't know this.
Articulate the thing that you just learned how to do by feel.
Tell us how you hit a draw. It's like, okay, right. So, well, I aim right. And
and swing right.
No, it's just like I aim right, and I draw it back. Okay. Anything else? I just hit it that way. Okay. Cool.
It starts right, ends up left.
Yeah. There was a famous one with Dustin, wasn't there? And he gets asked a question. He's in the trees somewhere. It looks like the south. And he's got fairway wood in the trees and he's trying to teach a cut. And they ask him a question. He goes, just make sure you cut it. And that was it. He's like, what's your best piece of advice? You want it left to right? He goes, make sure it goes right. Done.
There you go.
No follow-up.
Yeah.
But original question, him and Rory McIlroy. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Driver.
We've spoken about this recently as well. I saw a Max Homer quote where he said, once in your life, if you get the opportunity, go and watch Rory hit driver in the flesh.
Yeah, it's very high.
Life-changing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the other one as well for me that, and you'll I think you'll agree, biggest underachiever would be Sergio Garcia. Mm. Garcia, phenomenal.
Yeah.
So good. Insanely good. Insane.
Pete's going to have him at Open qualifying this year.
Mm. Taking him down.
I mean, if you do that, Pete, I'll be stoked.
Yeah, me too.
If you beat Garcia by a shot, then you get in. Simple as.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't think I'm going to beat Garcia on a single hole by a shot. Never mind over a course of 18 holes. Yeah.
So. Just that simple. Just beat Garcia by a shot.
Yeah.
So but in his heyday, though, boys, I mean,
as far as ball striking goes.
Insane.
Like, unbelievable.
I did this thing in Qatar with him, 20 golf balls, 20 golf shots, and he had to hit 20 drivers, and we needed the data. And he turned up in trainers, and it was wet on the floor because it was early. It was like 6:15, 6:30 in the morning. Sun was just coming up. He says, what do you guys need me to do? Need you hit driver. And he stands there, hits his 20 balls. His foot slips on one of them and it went about 6 yards outside of the other 19. Insane. And then he stood there on like shot number eight.
So annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, he stood there on like shot number 18 and he hit this. I hadn't moved my eye line. Everything had been through the same window. And he looked at me and goes, is this okay? And I said, yeah. He goes, do they all need to be the same? And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I want to like pinch fade one. And I was like, go for it. And he goes, okay, cool. Aims a little left, swagger, 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 whack. This fade he hit, I looked at the numbers. It was 2 degrees inside on the path, held the face, and he'd hit a push fade that started left from an open stance. Mm. And it went, I think about 10 feet, 20 feet lower on the apex than anything else. And it pitched past everything else on a fade. He'd like gone up sort of 4 mile an hour on ball speed.
Weird.
And he's just like, oh, I just fancy giving that a go. He goes, I'll hit you back to the normal ones now. And I was like, all right.
Cool. Imagine having that kind of control.
At like, that time in the morning.
They're like, flick it in on and off.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Wild.
I don't even hit the toilet at that time in the morning.
You do hit the pavement, though.
Oh, very true.
That's it. You hit those miles.
Do you know the other thing with him and John Daly as well with golf clubs? You don't even have to try to build them anywhere near spec.
Yeah.
They don't even have to be close. You just, as long as it's glued together.
Because nothing comes apart.
There's a famous story in TaylorMade that the lads, I mean, it's an old story, but it's been kept quiet for years. Garcia was sent a set of clubs to Spain, but obviously Sergio's dad is a good golfer. So it was back in like TP R9 prototype. One of the irons had loads of different offsets on it, A, B and C offset, changed the amount of offset, which is how the blade sits back from the face. These sets were sent to Spain. One was sent with an S400 shaft and one was sent with an X1. They turn up in Spain. The guy who sends them hears nothing from Sergio. He turns up at the TPC Sawgrass when it was really windy and he won that year in the wind. And he's standing there with the set for his dad. And he doesn't know he has his dad's set. He doesn't know the lies are wrong. He doesn't know the shafts are S-Flex. He doesn't know they're a different offset. And he's just like, and the guy who sent them looks at him and goes, all good with the irons? He goes, yeah, brilliant, great.
Wins!
And then it was something like that. I might have got the wrong tournament, but wins the tournament. And obviously they hear all this in the office and they're like, you have to get him in his spec. And the guy's like, why? The point? Yeah. What's the point?
I did my job.
I can send him anything.
He's just one with his dad's clubs. Why do I need to switch him right now?
Daly turns up in the desert one year and he just...
so ridiculous,
He bowls up with no golf clubs. We can't get a tour truck into the Middle East. And he just turns up and he says to one of the lads, and obviously we always used to go to the Middle East with like skeleton staff because it was expensive. And he'd just say, hey guys. And we'd be like, hey. And he's like, I got no clubs. Like, what do you mean? He goes, I didn't play good last week. I left him where I was at. Just build us a new set, will you? And the guy is like, so we got to get him into like the duty port tax place to get the heads, to build these irons. And then he has them back weighted. Oh, it's just a nightmare. It took one guy off the range for like a day and a half building these clubs. And he just gets them. And like, they were good to be fair. But he hits one or two shots. He's like, yeah, great, man. Great. Let's go. Kenny Perry. Remember him? Turning up in
Kenny
Qatar.
Kenny Perry, yeah.
Turning up in Qatar. A year after he nearly won the Masters, he turns up in Qatar. I'd never seen him hit a ball before. And man, just these long, like heavy hit
loopy draws
heavy hit. And all the Euros were out there hitting it, hitting it, hitting it. It's just like, boom, this big country boy, just like a old school Lucas Glover. Lucas Glover would be a close to that now, as you get. And then after that, now it's just all the college kids. They're basically like Kenny Perry's. Just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's a different game to what we play, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
It is.
Very different.
Yeah, because I can't do any of those things. And if I play with my dad's clubs, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, from your dad.
Don't sky it, son. Don't sky that.
God. I mean, yeah, that's so true.
My dad still plays with his dad's clubs.
Wow.
Wow.
That's like 40 years old.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Made of wood.
Yeah, wood.
Nice.
Talking about games that people are unfamiliar with, mm-hmm. Me and you are going to be going to the desert.
It could be raining. You've seen that?
Yeah.
Which is in trouble.
But that makes it good for us.
Other than you didn't bring any trousers.
I got a waterproof. You can borrow a waterproof. Okay.
I don't own any waterproofs.
You live in California.
Yeah, you don't need to.
Like I'm just going to get in your waterproofs and you, am I?
It was warm as well.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have a great time.
In your waterproofs.
Yeah, I'll just pull you out when I need you
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
There he is. He's a bit wet.
Perform.
Yeah, I'm worried about the weather. Other than that, I'm really excited to see the event. I mean, the only reason I knew about this event, I played golf at Goat Hill, which I know we went to the other day, and Luke Kwan was on the tee. And turns out he's joining us to play. I didn't know that. We were playing with a buddy of mine. He's like, these guys, I think he's in good. I was like, okay, cool. So we get playing, we get talking about it, tells me about the event, I text him, then obviously text you. And that's where this came from. I'm really excited to see what it is. I think they're doing a great job. Obviously, Grant and Micah, I've hung out quite a bit with them through TaylorMade.
Yeah, yeah.
New generation coming through and all this. Totally different to the tour vibe. I'm very keen to see if this is as big as I think it's going to be. Then well done, you know. Well done.
I mean, they have done some live stuff before. Obviously, this is something which is... I think it's a step towards something that we're going to be seeing a lot more of. You know, live golf events on YouTube by the creators is going to be something which is going to be so much more prevalent kind of going forward, because it's the next logical step. You know, we've gone from a lot of people watching tour golf to a lot of people watching YouTube golf. Now, can there be a way where we can watch golf YouTubers in live events? And this is the next step.
Do you think there will ever be a Ryder Cup YouTube style?
Everyone has talked about it for years and years and years. And I think the reason it hasn't happened is because Team GB would batter everyone.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, maybe.
No. That doesn't seem as many now.
No. I mean, I think...
You might make the team.
I think I would make the team, to be honest. I'd be there just for commentary purposes if I'm not playing.
You'd be fitting everyone.
Exactly. I'd be putting them in bad shafts and stuff over here, and then I'd sort the boys out.
I think you'd be a captain's pick.
Yeah, for sure. I'm getting in.
No, you played very well the other day. I think you'd be in.
Yeah. Considering I'm knocking rust off the clubs, I think I'll be... Yeah. Give me another... to be fair, from my game, that's why I'm glad I'm doing this, just to get it back again. Like, yeah. I just don't play much, so it's like, this is going to be good fun.
You don't have time to knock rust off. I mean, you need to play a lot between now and Wednesday.
Yeah,
you
know, I basically need to do what Tiger did with that putter, but fast forward that into just 48 hours.
we need to arrive in Arizona and be like, wow,
that putter's got a wear mark in it. Yeah.
I want to be able to turn up a driving range and like them to be whispering behind the couch. Said, "Yeah, it's been here for 2 days, man.
He hasn't slept.
It's like 4,000 balls." He said.
He turned up with no clubs. He said, "Build me some new ones."
Yeah, exactly. hitting Kenny Perry bombs.
Not even hitting any shots. Just visualizing.
Yeah,
just visualizing them.
Still on there, just listening to Bob Rotella audiobook.
Yeah,
I think we're going to do all right. You know,
I think we'll do all right.
I'm going to make a super bold prediction. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Straight down the camera.
This is an exclusive, and I'm pretty confident. Me and Troy, we are not going to finish last.
Oh, God. I thought it was going to be...
I was so disappointed.
I thought it was going to be much bigger than that.
Pete, I think we'll be fine. When we get into it and we get going, it's better ball, we'll be fine, mate.
Yeah, but we tried this the other day.
No, we'll be fine. We'll be in the moment. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Come on, my man.
Keep telling yourselves that.
You know what actually happened the other day? We played better ball and...
Yeah, we didn't play very good.
It was me and Trotty against Aaron and I, Piers. And it was kind of like...
And Mac. Mac was there.
And Mac, yeah. And Mac, yeah.
Oh, this is a go-to.
Yeah, three against two, because we thought we'd test ourselves.
It was early, though.
It was early, but it was like, I tried to get, I basically tried to inspire Troy.
Good
and
Lord.
We, I teed off, you know, whacked it pretty much on the green at par four. Not a problem.
After I'd hit an iron, because yeah, I said I'm too stiff to hit the wood here, boys. I mean, it was early, it was early.
Troy is an iron down there, and he's setting up for this pitch shot. And I'm like, right, what can I do to inspire him? What can I do to put him in the zone? I'm like, just imagine a few days from now, Trotty, there's going to be thousands of people around here. Hit this pitch shot like we're going to win
the event. I had a nice image before he started on all this as well.
Fats him 10 yards in front of him.
Cheers, Pete.
Good Lord. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, this is a bad omen.
I think we'll be fine. We'll have a laugh. We'll enjoy it. See how it goes.
But the most important thing is we do have a laugh.
We'll have a laugh.
You can't take this too seriously. You can't get angry. You just got to let it go. You got to relax.
It's YouTube golf at the end of the day. I've got to get better at this.
Well, no, it's not, because it's on the actual TV, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's
on actual TV. They're doing like proper broadcast.
We'll only get on the broadcast and stuff if we do it. If we're on the TV, we're doing well. That means we're playing well. A great thing.
We're doing well or doing really badly, like just one of the two.
No, we ain't going to be doing bad.
And let's head over to the eighth tee where Finch and Trot hit another spectator.
Finch and Trot actually asking for balls from the crowd because they've run out.
This is the fourth visit of the air ambulance here to grass clipping.
I think you guys will be fine. Off the tee, you're not a problem. You hit your three wood and your driver very, very well the other day. And Peter Finch likes his driver at the moment, so I'm happy there.
We're an absolute menace off the tee.
You're going to be dangerous off the tee. Not so good on the putting.
Do you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to add something here, Pete. You said that last night when I saw you, and I took that to heart. So this morning, I can confirm this is true. At 20-7, I was on the putting green this morning.
Mummy.
Putting a wear mark in the putter at 20-7 this morning.
Were you actually?
I 100% was on the putting green.
And I did that.
No, I was just like, I can't be calibrated, can I, if you say that? Like, usually my putting is my strength, so I was like, I'm going to go and hit
some
putts.
You put-shamed him.
Yeah, I was like, how dare you say that?
Put it in context. We're filming for Trotty's channel. Do you think you putted well?
No.
Well,
not
there you go.
No.
All I said.
That's why I was on the putting green.
Yeah, and I've seen Pete putt a lot.
And by the way, like trash talking, we filmed today. Would we say that I putted badly today? No, we wouldn't. I putted very well today.
All right. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
I tell you now, to be fair.
No, you did actually. You did.
Troy, for most of the round, I was under par. So, I put it away.
Your approach play was much better today, though.
To be fair, if we hold putts, there's a chance.
You got a problem. I think the world of YouTube golf is not prepared for you two.
If we hold putts, we got a chance.
If we hold putts, we're not prepared for that.
No. Yeah, then we'll be like, hang on a minute, this camera crew turned up. What's happening here, mate?
We'll be looking at each other like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it would be hilarious if all of the crowds, you know, there'll be crowds out and you go out on the first and the second. And eventually people are like, this lot don't deserve to be here. The crowd just like starts to slowly dissipate. And by the time you get to about the ninth, you're like, what the bloody hell is everyone?
Nah, we are going to be prime time viewing.
You got a good tee time.
We're going to be out there, and like Grant and Garrett are going to be teeing off, and they're like, "Where's
everyone?
Where's everyone? Yeah, they've all followed them.
Why is everyone out there ahead? Why is there 5,000 people around that one hole?
Why are there 5,000 people watching these elderly northerners?
Why are they tossing Chris Trott into the air? Like he's a conquering hero.
Because he's so little.
Where's he gone? He's disappeared into those waterproofs. Pete's put him back in his pocket. What's happening here?
Oh God, he's inside that regatta jacket over there.
I think it's fine. It's Footjoy, actually.
Oh, sorry, yeah. That's right.
Regatta. Well, you won't catch me wearing regatta.
God, Lauren will have a word to say about that. Lauren would have a word to say about that.
Oh, is she a big regatta girl?
She used to work there.
Used to.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Did pay enough.
Now I get free Kit Kats instead of jackets. Nice.
Which, by the way, I think is a big win.
Much better. Much better. I'll take Kit Kats over raincoats any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Wooden wheel.
Yeah. Now, who do you think your biggest competition is?
The whole field. Who's our biggest? I don't know. I mean, realistically, I think if we finish... I don't know who's our big. Probably we are our own biggest competition. Pair of head cases.
I was
yeah,
just
that's
about to
probably
say that.
Who's our biggest competition.
I was just about to say that. It's we could, if California
we're out,
thing,
yeah, so. If we're out of our own head, then we can win it, and if we're in our own head, then we could easily have a shocker. So we're our biggest competition.
To be honest, but I mean, I don't want to sound too negative.
No, well, don't say it then.
But this podcast, this is literally what it's about, saying things.
Yeah.
But I don't honestly think that we're going to win it. I don't. I think there's a lot of really good players in there. I don't think we're in the form of our lives. Far from it. I think we've got our lives. That's about it. But the thing is, with any event, with any competition that anybody enters and with any sporting arena, okay, there's always a chance.
Yes. Oh, God, I love it.
You know what I mean? If you put yourself forward, if you put your neck on the line, if you put your feet on that starting line, there's always a chance that you could come out on top. There's always a fool's hope that you might be able to raise your game to the occasion.
They're going to make a film about this.
Mm.
They are. We're going to make one.
Is this going to be a? Is this going to be?
It's going to be on YouTube at some point.
It's going to be a Netflix documentary.
Who would play you, yeah. Pete?
Sorry.
Who would play you?
God. Let me think. Actually.
Done him.
Hmm?
Done him. You lost. You don't know.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't really know the names of that many actors.
Okay.
I would go.
Leonardo.
I would have said that
God,
myself.
He's so.
My head was there, to be honest.
I'd have gone Elijah Wood. I'll give you Elijah Wood.
Okay.
You know what? I could actually see it.
Can't you?
I could actually see it.
There you go.
Can I be a McCallum?
You can't.
Oh, that's a shame.
You could be Bernard Hill.
I don't know, but it was Bernard Hill. That
is. King Theoden.
Oh. No, even he's a bit old for me.
You're old.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that. I'm not King Theoden old. You know what I mean?
Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. That's all. That's the next question. Yeah. I've ticked that off. That's on. That was on the plan.
Oh, dear. Well, you know what? I think we've chatted on for a long time, though.
Okay.
Haven't we? How long have we gone on for, though?
Go on, talk to us. How long are we on?
1 minute, 24 seconds.
1 minute 24 or 1 hour 24?
Yeah. One hour. Not 1 minute.
So we've had quite a long day, and Sam over there is steeruggling.
He is fried.
Yeah.
He is fried. We played 18 holes today. About 9 holes in, he goes, I need to go to bed.
And then I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And then he got sunstroke.
See, this is the thing, like, yeah, I'm
kids, they can't keep up, mate. Yeah, I know they can't keep up. You look fresh as a daisy.
Mate, I'm ready to go again.
Good, because we're going for a run after this.
You know what I mean?
I'm not.
Get me in the desert open right now. I could take all of them.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to batter it.
So the thing is...
With me in his pocket.
Yeah.
You'd be a bit sweaty now, you know?
This might actually shock you, Chris. I'm not like... I wouldn't class myself as a sprinter. You know, I'm not the most like energetic person all the time. I've got staying power. You know what I mean? God. I'm a grinder. You know what I mean?
We'll be there, mate.
We'll be there. We need to just outlast everyone for 14 holes.
Right, so look down this camera here and say, we're going to win it.
We've already said we're not.
Yeah, I know. So we're not going to lie.
Sorry.
Now you want us to lie on that.
Sorry, social media team. I tried really hard.
We're not going to lie to people. All right. We don't want to give people false hope.
You just talked about how there's always hope.
I do think we can get in the mix.
You can do it.
I think we can get in the mix. Okay.
Speaking of getting in the mix, we're gonna play a new game. We're not doing guest of player because obviously not everyone's here, and you quite like the idea of guest of player.
I love
guest
of player. Yeah.
But we're gonna do a slightly different game called Tenable. Have you seen Tenable before?
Is that a Squid Game?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not. It's basically you're gonna name 10 of something.
Oh, can it be fruit?
Okay, yeah, we'll try right.
sir.
Right, okay, just to warm up, we're going to name 10 fruits between us. Right, you two,
okay.
10 fruits. I want one. You take turns. Peter okay. Finch, go first.
Banana.
Good.
Apple.
Good.
Pineapple.
Good.
Kiwi.
Hold on, producer Sam. Oh, you're counting. Oh,
okay. Right, okay.
Yeah, kiwi, good. I thought banana's actually a seed.
An orange.
Strawberry.
Good.
Oh, it's a strawberry fruit.
Yeah.
Well, what else would it be?
Don't know. Go on. A blackberry.
Good.
Grapes.
Yeah.
Grape. What kind of
grape?
Okay.
A grape. Yeah. Just one grape.
Go on. Behave yourself.
Box it off now.
A dragon fruit.
Exotic way to win.
Yeah, there you go. Excellent work. Okay, so you know how the game works.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so this category, slightly more difficult.
Okay.
I want the last 10 UK and Ireland golfers to win the Open.
What the hell that is?
The last 10, like in order or?
UK and Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't have to put them in order, sure.
You don't have to put them in order.
Okay.
But
this could be tricky.
Between the two of you, you can do this. Your golfing knowledge is deep. So I want the last 10 UK and Ireland golfers to win the Open.
I don't know how far we're going to get with this. Okay, go on.
Go. Peter Finch, start.
Lowry.
Shane Lowry, correct.
Faldo.
Nick Faldo, correct.
Oh, so you don't have to be in order?
No, it doesn't have to be in order.
All right. It's going to be easy.
I'm glad you think it's going to be easy. I don't know if it's going to be easy. Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy, correct.
Clarkey.
Darren Clark, correct.
Sandy Lyle.
Sandy Lyle, correct.
That's good, Pete.
Thank you.
So you've got one, Lowry, two, McIlroy, three, Clark. Six Faldo, seven Sandy Lyle.
We're playing as a team, aren't we?
Yeah, you're together.
Okay. We talked about him a second ago, about his driver.
Miles Tunnicliffe. Harrington.
Four, Podrick Harrington.
Four, got more than four.
Yes.
No, he's number like four on the list, though.
Yeah.
He's number right. four.
We need to go back in time here, mate.
You do.
I was going to say, is this from like... Is this the last...
Tony Jacklin.
10.
Tony Jacklin, 7. Okay. No, actually, 8.
Right, okay.
We need to go back even further.
Is there... Kieran sent me this, so if there aren't 10 here, I'm going to murder him in his sleep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
Was
nine,
James
10.
Braid...
Before, Paul Laurie.
Paul Laurie, oh, correct. Fantastic. So well you've done. Now got Lowry, McIlroy, Clark, Harrington, Laurie...
Old Tom
Faldo.
Morris.
Old Tom Morris.
Lyle, Jacklin, you're missing 9 and 10.
One of the old Tom Morris and all that crew. They won it, didn't they?
Well, he's not the last 10.
Oh, okay.
See, you're going way too far
yeah,
back.
Yeah.
So who was 8? So that would be the one before that.
Yeah, Jacklin was 8. So Jacklin's the oldest one you have. You need 2 older than that.
Jacklin's the oldest one. We need 2 older than Jacklin.
Yeah.
English guys.
UK and Ireland.
UK and Ireland. Now this is getting a little bit.
Did
tricky.
Brian Barnes win it?
No.
No. Did Eamon Darcy win it?
No.
I know he didn't. Got a great swing though. Wow, that was a hell of a technique.
I will give you the year. Would you like the year?
Yeah, go for it.
1951.
Okay. It's a little bit back, a little bit back in time then.
No chance.
Give us his initials.
No. He's English.
N-O.
He won it at, I believe he... I'll just check my stats here. Wow. Yeah, you ain't getting it.
No, I don't think we're getting that. 51, we're not getting that.
Just give us initials. We'll get it.
M-F.
Max Faulkner.
Correct.
Great effort.
Excellent work. So you have 9. You need 10.
So this is going to be before Max Faulkner.
If he gets it.
I don't see it.
Give us the year.
3 times.
Of course he has. He's a legend.
You know it is.
No, not a clue. But I'm just going to hope for a year.
So, 1948.
Love that.
1937 and 1934, which is weird because there's a lot of gaps there.
Did they make the film about him, the greatest game ever played or whatever? Was that with the...
Fighting the war.
I don't think so, unfortunately.
Yeah, he had the war to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
Took a break from golf.
go and just save the world.
Yeah, I must admit, this is a bit of a gap in my history knowledge, really.
I'm no use to you.
So this is after like the James Braids and all the rest of it. Can I have his initials again?
I'll tell you this: he's been knighted.
Oh, good for him.
That wasn't the question he asked.
No. What are the initials? Yeah.
H.C.
Henry Cotton.
That is correct.
Yeah. Very good.
Great work. Yeah. Flaming heck.
We needed. We should have got that, to be fair.
Yeah, you lot have let your sales down. You should have got Henry Cotton. Down.
Yeah. Like, it's been a long few days. You know, it's been a long few days. You're expecting.
I feel like we should have got Henry Cotton, but yeah, fair dues.
Reaching back into my brain to pull Henry Cotton out. Like, that's Sir, not Henry Cotton. Sir Henry Cotton. Sir Henry Cotton.
Yeah, give him his dues.
Give him his due. He's a knight of the realm. Was a knight of the realm.
Yeah. He snuffed it now. Yeah, he's not knocking about anymore.
Goes on his gravestone, though, surely.
Surely. We should still respect him.
Might have been cremated.
Somewhere it says Sir Henry Cotton.
I'll tell you where it says it, on the bloody claret jug, son.
Yeah.
Three times,
yeah.
That's true. I've inspected that trophy very vigorously as well. I should have remembered that. I did give it a little lick. I'm not going to lie.
That's really inappropriate.
I did.
Lots of people have drunk out of it.
I know.
It's weird.
I did really, by the way. I would have got away with it. Did he give me the silver medal for a bit, though? That was a bit weird.
Oh, yeah. They just handed it to him and walked off.
Have I told you this?
No.
First time I was doing the open broadcast,
yeah.
They had the claret jug then, the silver medal that's awarded to the lowest amateur every year. And we're doing a bit to camera, and they gave me the silver medal. Just left. So I had it in my pocket. And by the way, this is on the final day. So it was like
someone's about to win it.
It was required.
Yeah, it was required. Just holding the thing. I'm like going around to everyone. I said, guys, I've got the silver medal.
I need to give this to someone.
Can somebody take this off me?
Otherwise, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah. I didn't want it to feel like a Jules Rimet. Like, where's the silver medal? Nobody knows.
Fitch has got it.
Anyway, they got it back to me. It's all right.
Speaking of names on trophies, on Wednesday night, they will be putting two names onto a trophy in the desert. And those names will be...
Brian Bros.
Shut up.
Okay. God, do it again. Sorry. Sorry. Do it again. Sorry.
Speaking of names on trophies, they will be putting two names on a trophy in the desert on Wednesday night. And those names will be Garrett Clark.
See, I wasn't going to say anything.
I think you can win it. You need confidence, you need to roll some putts, and you're going to do it.
I was saying this to Trotty, like, we don't need false confidence. We know enough. We've seen more.
Got a couple of battle scars, haven't we?
We've seen more of life.
Use your experience.
Kids.
Get in the heads of these young lot. Do them.
I mean, I'm ready to walk through walls little speech.
Yeah, we'll fight him on the beaches.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. Have you got any like GB Euro colours? Are you getting into that?
We should have sorted out uniforms. We missed that one big time.
I mean, we've still got a few days. I'm sure we can find something.
John Daly-esque. I want to see it.
I've got some Euro shoes. I might have to rock the Euro shoes.
I have got the best idea. Right. Okay. Imagine this. Right. Lord. Imagine this. So we can get some red, white and blue stuff. I mind that won't translate well because obviously red, white, and blue are over here as well.
It's got to be the Euro,
yeah,
hasn't it?
It's got to be the
blue and the yellow.
Blue and
white.
Yellow, or you can even go in Union Jack.
Yeah, you've got your full Union Jack.
If you're taking it that deep.
Okay, here's the idea. Right. So you may know this, but when I did the Whoop Shot of Glory, when I won second place, I got to give money to a local animal shelter. Okay. What if we go there just to have a look around and say hello, you know, after we donate the money? But we say, you know, would you be able to lend us, maybe just for an evening, two bulldogs?
It's not WWF wrestling.
I
would be having us turn up with leotards in a bit.
It's theme music.
Yeah.
And then we could turn up, we could put the Union Jacks on the bulldogs as well.
Churchill's.
Yeah, yeah. And we could like take some.
And then I do love it. It's a great idea.
You should 100%. And you know what? You guarantee yourself a lot of airtime if you're both wearing Union Jack golf colours.
With bulldogs walking around after the golf clubs.
You know what? I'm willing to...
Can you turn up in an Aston Martin? Do we know anyone who's got an Aston Martin?
I'm not sure grass clippings would be overly happy with us rolling onto the tee. You know what they would be okay with, though? Us hiring a brass band to play behind us.
That's such a good idea.
Okay, a colliery band.
Dogs is a good idea. Maybe we've got to talk about this. What can we do down the British theme?
I think bagpipes is a good chat.
Okay, so you'll have to watch the video. You'll have to watch the broadcast. These two will either be turning up completely decked out in Team GB regalia, or they won't.
We should get kilts.
Okay, on kilts, we're going to end the podcast.
You're from North England, are you? Not Scottish. We're going Scotsman now.
Thanks so much for coming on the podcast, Troy. You're an absolute legend.
Cheers, boys.
I'm sure people are fascinated by the work that you do. And we're looking forward to you both winning it in the desert.
Sounds like we're going in kilts.
Yep, with dogs.
Let's do it.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.